The Jewish lyrics are beautiful.
I don't know any of the lyrics. Do you feel like the doctor?
The lyrics are very, very beautiful. The viewers just see it.
The lyrics are really quite something special. It's not going to replace the Hadadi, but... Okay, we'll start off on Lag BaOmer. I don't know if you want to continue talking about Lag BaOmer afterwards. We could try to do that too. But to start off, Lag BaOmer is a chizuk for our amelus in Nigla. Rav Yoshua was asked, this sounds better in Yiddish. Speaking of Yiddish, it sounds better in Yiddish. Rav Yoshua was asked one time when he was younger, if farts are Rabbi Shimon, by the Hasidim, you don't say me wrong, you say to Rabbi Shimon, are you traveling to Rabbi Shimon? So Rav Yashiv, of course, had a Gemara in front of him, and he said, Yo ich fart, yes, I'm traveling. Rabbi Shimon is da. Traveling to Rabbi Shimon over here. It's a very, very beautiful chizuk. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya, I'd like to come back to 2 points from the questions that the Talmidim raised, and then begin Simon Tafnun Beis. I would like to today, an hour will be 4:10. So I would like to today to try to do Tafnun, all of Tafnun Beis, and really I wanted Lechat Chilat also to finish Kuf Chaf Aleph as well. First of all, in regards to Duralex, so we had left off with a Tzarech Iyun. What was the pshat that Rav Nevenzal had said that one could be Magil Duralex? So there was a piece that I hadn't entirely internalized that's based on the Sharet Zion on that halacha. So we're up to Klis Chuchis in Tafnun Al Chavav, that the Sharet Zion raises a third issue in regards to Chuchis. We had seen two possibilities. We had seen Rishonim that say that Chuchis is Shia V'lo Bliya, it's smooth, and therefore it doesn't absorb. By the way, the example of that in halacha is a heart. The heart muscle itself does not, if it's sitting in blood, because it's so smooth, it doesn't absorb. If you think about it, those items that are more porous, they tend to absorb. So Gemara says Shia V'lo Bliya in regards to Leif. So the Rishonim then extend, it's nothing to do with the heart, but the Rishonim extend that to Schuchis, which is much more smooth and therefore would not absorb. And we saw that there are other Rishonim who hold the other world. And the other Rishonim hold that Schuchis is like Cheres. And we gave an explanation, we saw this Rav Heter, it's two different possibilities. So the Sharet Zion made famous the least of the likely explanations. Likely, what I mean by, is not in terms of Amita Shel Torah, but in terms of the Rishonim. What we saw last time is within the Rishonim themselves. And the Sharet Zion, Maran HaChavetz Chaim, found a Ritva. Halfway through Kuf Tzadi Vav, he says, in my edition, the last word on line is Bechidushe, first word on the line is Ritva, about, I would say, 7 or 8 lines in on the Sharet Zion in 88. B'shem Ra'ah, the Daito Gamken, the Klis Chuchis Bolev Atzarech HaGala, he also holds that Klis Chuchis absorbs. El Dekasav Sham Da'gol Lo Mahani Luhu, Mishum Dechayis Shema Paka. That the Chshash is not that we give glass the din of Cheres, but rather the concern is that just like we saw in Sif Aleph, the Cheres, even if you would be able to put in coals and get the tam out, it still won't work because we're afraid it's going to break. So there's a Chidush in the Rishonim, the Ritva in the name of the Ra'ah, that says that the same applies in regards to Zechuchas. So on this, the Piskei Tshuva quotes from Rav Yashiv, from a third source. It wasn't directly from Rav Yashiv, but a third source I don't remember. Yeah, it's in your last packet, if you want to take a look, trace the thing, that Rav Yashiv says that Duralex is different. The Duralex, because it goes directly on heat and handles heat very well, that's the whole, if you will, kunz of the Duralex. So Rav Yashiv thought that Duralex, there might be room for Hagolah. So not surprisingly, Rav Nevenzal, who's very open about that most of his psakim in the Haggadah are based, he references you to the Piskei Tshuvos itself, so Rav Nevenzal was running with that Shita as well. What comes out this Psak of Rav Yashiv, so it's really not Rav Nevenzal's own personal Psak, this is built off of Rav Yashiv's Psak, is a Shtikl Chiddush, because at the end of the day, if you look in the Rishonim, the Pashtus is that if you're going to be Machmar and Tzchuchis, is because there's a Din Cheres. Rav Yashiv seems to be mitzdarif the kamakulos, and that at the end of the day, it could very well be that zechuchas is shiur v'lo bliya. And we have the, another explanations for the machmirim. So by duralex, you could be makel. In regards to pyrex, the difference between duralex and pyrex. So some of the avrichim I told them originally last week. I wasn't sure if I wanted to drive Rav Nevinsel crazy about those details. At the end of the day, his Haggadah wasn't written entirely by him. Maybe some of those details would just be driving him crazy. So I was not surprisingly underestimated Rav Nevinsel, and I ultimately went over to him and I started driving him crazy about the Duralex and the Pyrex, and he knew exactly about what he had written and what was written in his name, and it's exactly what's in the Haggadah, and that there is a difference between Duralex and Pyrex. Pyrex, as Rav Nevinsel alludes to in the Ha'aros on the bottom of Taf Nun Aleph, you'll see his Lashon is Kli Pyrex Ukidoma She'ofen Behem. Generally, you bake in them. So, Efshar LaHachshir Sharei Efshar LaLabnam. And Rav Nevinsel was very emphasized a few times this week in discussing these things with him, the importance of safety in regards to kashering. When I was doing a little bit of research online, there are instances where they were concerned about Duralex exploding and Pyrex exploding if you put way too much heat on them. And so when it comes to Pyrex, so Pyrex is something that's generally used for baking. If it's used for baking, then the hechsher would not be hagala. The hechsher would be libun. Now, to do libun on Pyrex, Rav Nevinsel, his information was that would not work. Just the mitzius. I don't know if the Pyrex would explode, what would happen, but that can't be done. So that's the difference between Duralex and Pyrex. When it comes to Duralex, that generally is something that you use to cook meat, and therefore the process which is absorbed is similar to Agala, and therefore Kibolo Kachpolto. If you are Choshesh, which we are, the Chametz is Yisura Bola, so then when you have the baking in the oven, then the way to kasher it would be through Libun, and then in such a case, that can't be done. So that's the bottom line, B'siyata D'shmaya, about the Duralex and Pyrex, and some of the other minim. The rest of the minim that we went through, take a look at the Piskei Tshuvos that we went through quickly. At the end of the day, there is a discussion, as Rav Moshe pointed out, as far as plastic is concerned, the Piskei Tshuvos quoted it, it's in the back of your booklet. My understanding is that the Minhag HaOlam, generally, particularly for Pesach, is not to kasher plastic. B'shas Hadchak, there's definitely room to be mefalpel whether one can kasher, but my understanding is that the rule of thumb is that one does not kasher in regards to Pesach. Another question that one of the Avrichim had asked, and I told them I would get back to them, is in regards to what Rabbi Yisrael had asked in regards to the microwave. We saw that even though there is a lot of room to be makel, even though there are many machmir in terms of kasher in the oven, nevertheless, when it comes to a microwave, so then there's, we saw that even the Yalkut Yosef was nota l'chumra unless one used the davar hapoge. So that's what we saw in regards to Hilchos Pesach. So Rabbi Yisrael just asked simply, he said at the end of the day, does that mean we hold that you can't kasher back and forth from microwaves? Generally, the assumption is that that even if you're machmir in regards to microwave, if did the ever there was a spill, that you could kasher. So on that question, there is a big diyun in poskim to this day. If you take a look at the second page, again, Ramosha's Mar Makom to Rabbi Jachter was helpful. Take a look at the first page after the cover page. There you have Rav Eider Zatzal's Sefer. Just for those of you who are young over here, when I was a child, after Rav David was a child, but when I was a child, there was one English halacha book, and that was Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Eider was the first one who wrote halacha in English. So we should all be extremely, extremely indebted to him. By the way, this is not so well known. You know, he's a YU boy. He started off as an hour base medrash, and then he switched to base medrash gavoa. He started off, and unfortunately, he passed away quite young. I think he passed away in his late 50s or early 60s. And he was he has the schus of many of the expressions of halacha in English really, really started with him, and he did an amazing job, considering that he was the first, he did a fantastic job. And he was a Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe. He learned, I believe, by Rav Nissen Alpert in the yeshiva, and then, of course, switched to Lakewood, and he managed to have a very special relationship with Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he quotes from Rav Moshe the following. He says from Rav Moshe that, and that's on this page, I'll just speak it out, that when it comes to hechsher in a microwave, so there Rav Moshe says that no problem to do a hechsher in a microwave. He says the microwave is going to be very, very different than an instance of kashering with steam. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where Rav Moshe is machmer. I made reference to this passingly, that Rav Moshe says that if you have a treifa manufacturing line and it absorbed Isur, and now OU wants to do a kosher run. So he was asked, could you kasher with this intense steam? So Rav Moshe says, no. Kibolo kachpolto, he was choshish, Chacham Avadia has studded maybe lakula, but Rav Moshe was fundamentally against the idea, because he said if it goes in through blios of water, so then even though steam could be just as hot, it wouldn't work. But Rav Moshe writes over here, he thinks the microwave is much more different to kula. He says, because at the end of the day, how did the iser go in? So let's talk about milchiks and fleishiks. So you microwave fleishiks, so then the iser went in through the zeya that was absorbed into the wall. So Rav Moshe says, very simple. He doesn't go with the cheshbonos that you're burning out the Zeya, like Rav Ozner goes. Rav Moshe says, at the end of the day, you don't need to burn it out. All you need to do is kibolo kachpolto. So that's where what's very commonly done amongst Kilasenu is that the way in which the hechsher is done is you run the water through, and then that pulls out the Zeya. So that was Rav Moshe's suggestion. However, in the Yalkut Yosef, the Yalkut Yosef raises the following problem. It seems to have been a big hack amongst Chacham Avadya Zatzal's sons. Some of them felt very strongly the Chumrah, and some of them felt very strongly the Kula, and each one tried to convince their father according to their side. So in the past, I made reference to the fact that the Yalkut Yosef was nota the Kula. He says that one of his brothers tried to convince his father that there's another Shiloh over here that's at play. And that is that Rav Moshe didn't have the whole Metzius. And that is, what about splashes? And there was a time that that some of the brothers had convinced Chacham Avadya that it's not only a Shiloh that Rav Moshe had suggested in terms of Zeya in the microwave. The chashash over here is that you've got splashes in the microwave. So since you've got splashes against the wall, so then the Zeya is not going to be effective to remove. So then you have this long tshuva, part of the Sefer I photocopied from you previously in the Yalkut Yosef. Take a look in the Yalkut Yosef in the end of Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. He has a long tshuva right in the back. He has a long tshuva about kashering microwaves. And what he comes out is that at the end of the day, he believes himself that one could be nota lekula. He claims that his father also agreed that one could be nota lekula, that there isn't yad soledes bo of the splashes on the wall. In other words, even if there is splashes, it doesn't reach yad soledes. So therefore, you combine Rav Moshe's idea, and you combine the suffix of yad soledes bo, in such a case, one could be mekel. It seems like that's how the Yalkut Yosef comes out. Dahainu. That when it comes to Chumrah the Pesach, he seems to be Nota L'Chumrah, as we've discussed in the past. But when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, he tends to be Nota L'Kula. There are poskim that strongly disagree with him. I was a little bit biased, I guess. I was reading it through our chief rabbi's eyes in his tshuva, and I didn't have the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak Tachas Yodi when he quotes the Shvus Yitzchak, one of Rav Yashin's Talmidim, as being Machmir against him. But at the end of the day, there is a diun. The question seems to be mostly a question of Metzius. In other words, any other halachic argument doesn't seem to me to be too compelling against Rav Moshe's basic svara. Question is, A, the Metzius of splashes, B, the Metzius of how it goes up against the wall. Now, Rav Jachter has a couple of chidushim in terms of being matir splashes, but even Rav Jachter's chidushim are all, as I recall, snifim, lahakel, which are not a liba de hilchasa. So he's being mitzdarif, a bunch of snifim, plus Rav Moshe, plus we would add the suffix of the Yalkut Yosef, so that's how it goes down. At the end of the day, Yalkut Yosef's argument to me seems to be compelling, that it seems to make sense that Pesach to be machmir, and when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, then there's room to be mekel, because of quite a few sveikos, and of course, best thing, of course, would be to leave for 24 hours, and then in such a case, the tam is togum altogether. And then what we need is for more people to be mevar the metzias. We need a little bit more of the metzias. It, when it comes to these splashes, if it's yad soledes, so then in such a case, it could be that there's a lot of room to be machmir. But one should be aware that Rav Moshe showed me, Rabbi Jack, there's an excellent, very straightforward article where he had a few snifim to be mitzaref lahakel, but those snifim, it seemed to me, were all not aliba de hilchasa. There was snifim lahakel, so lichatchila will be a little bit tougher to rely on. Okay, so that is the two things that we had to get back to in terms of lemaisa, lemaisa, lemaisa. Yes, Rabbi Yom, and then David. And what's his more? To pour hot water on the microphone? What I'm most curious about is does he say that you're going to need to pour hot water over to be magil the sides?
You need to do both, or you could also do that.
Right. So that becomes very, very impractical, right? The moment in which you're going to have to do real hagol, that becomes impractical. I wasn't swayed by the Shvus Yitzhak's arguments. In other words, I'm going to get stuck, l'chumra. And in our house, Bli Nether, we do try to cover. In other words, if we're putting fleishiks, and let's say it's generally milfix, so we try to cover the fleishiks. I'm going to get stuck and say that there's a lot of room to be machmir if it reaches Yatzel Espo on the walls. It's hard, Rav Moshe's Heter is hard to swallow if that's the Messias. But again, Rav Yosef does a lot better research than I do, so I'll rely on the chief rabbi for now, as far as that's concerned. Yes, David.
Kind of trying to ask, what is the status of the group of the splash on the wall of the method?
I'll explain. It's Manish Kli Rishon. So that's in other words, if it heats up on the wall.
If it gets hot on the wall, is that like worse than even like you?
Even the chumrah. In other words, if somebody finds out the mitzius that it reaches Yad Soledes Bo on the wall, then it's going to be. I find that will be very, very hard to be made.
My second question was the food's hot.
So that was what all the brothers were arguing with. So don't know. I trust my chief rabbi. In other words, if he's not convinced at all, and he has most of the suffix, I'm going to go with that. Possibly, you could look at it two ways. I hear it. A lot of the things that you're raising are raised in the Shvusiyas. We'll take a look over there. I just want to accomplish a lot of it today. I apologize. But my pleasure to continue in the base bench. This is the Rashi Prakim, and it'll be a schut to continue. All right. So let's begin this Yatta Shmaisim and Tafnun base. The way to introduce Tafnun base is Man Hagolas Kalim. Is that when it comes to Hagolas Kalim, there we have a bunch of challenges. And the challenges in Hagolas Kalim revolve around a very basic issue. And that is, let's just draw it out on the board, and that is that when you have a kli, that's kosher, this kli is kosher, this kli that's inside of it is treif. Okay? So then, when you put it in, so the water over here is kosher. But now you have blios that are going out that are treif. And at the same time, of course, the blios are reabsorbed with kosher blios that are going in. But the problem, of course, is that eventually the treif is going to mix with the kosher. Where is the treif going to mix with the kosher? First of all, the treif is going to mix into the kosher water, which means that the next kli that you kasher is going to be an issue as well. Okay. Also, eventually, the big kosher pot that you're kashering in is also going to absorb that treif water, and eventually it's going to give in to the next kli, maybe not the second kli you put in, but the third or fourth kli. That's the fundamental issue that we have in kashering. And that is that, yes, in a moment's time, if you could freeze frame, and that's going to be an important word over here, if you could freeze frame the treif's blios going out and the kosher blios going in from the kosher water, then that would be fine. At that moment, everything is good. But eventually, things are going to start getting messed up. And for that matter, what happens if you put another kli in at the same time? So then, the blios from this kli eventually is going to go into the blios of this kli. So how do we deal with all of these challenges in regards to Hechsher Kalim? Hechsher Kalim is ideal at a particular moment. Let's say 20 seconds in, a minute in, so then in such a case, then you, at that moment, everything is fine. But eventually, those blios of Isser are going to affect that taruvas of water, going to affect the kli, it's going to affect any other kli that's inside. So for this, that's the fundamental issue in Tafnun Beis, at least the first few se'ifim. And for this, I wrote out on the cover page a bunch of etzos that the Mechaber is going to, and the Rama are going to allude to. And basically, by the time we get to the end of the packet, we're going to see that these etzos we try to use in almost all conditions, even though there are instances where it would not be necessary. Number one, the first etzah is that if you have shishim in the water, so then no matter how much treif is going in, if there's shishim of water keneged the kli, then in such a case, then it's always going to be batel. So if you calculate all of the blios, so then in such a case, that is going to be enough. There is a machlokis rishonim that we won't get involved with inside, is a machlokis between the Rajba and the Ra'ah of how do you calculate the kalim. Do you calculate, let's say you're kashering five kalim. Do you say that five kalim, there's five blios, and therefore you need 60 times five kalim, 300 times the blios? Or you could say you go after one kli. So we're nota l'chumra, because it's quite illogical to say you go after one kli, but there is a diun in the Rishonim that just needs to be mentioned. But at the end of the day, one needs shishim, and presumably the shishim is keneged whatever amount of kalim are in there. So if you have five kalim, so then you're going to need shishim keneged each one of those kalim, and not one at a time.
You mean simultaneously?
Yes, simultaneously. Only talking about simultaneously. Yes. Yes, but we're assuming, we're going simple. The variables are going to be able to multiply exponentially. Let's assume that they're the same. Yeah, right, correct. Right, and that's how we assume. I'm just saying that there is a tzad lahakil to say that you don't. Number two, second eitzah is a very, very important eitzah which should be used, and that is eina ben yomo. If you have all the kalim that are there as being eina ben yomo kalim, this massive kli that you're using hasn't been used to kasher in the last 24 hours, and the kalim that you're putting inside, their blios are also 24 hours. So then, in such a case, that would be another eitza hamiyutza to solve it. Number three, and the Mechaber takes this very seriously. The classic way of solving it in the Rishonim is Aidi depalit eina boleya. That the general rule of thumb is that when this kli is kicking out its iser, it doesn't absorb anything else. So this is an axiom, that's an absolute axiom in halacha, which is very, very helpful. The limit, and therefore, there will be no problem kashering a bunch of kalim inside, because each one of them is kicking out its iser, and the time it kicks out its iser, it's not going to be absorbing another iser. Now, of course, the water is now going to be filled with iser, because it got all the iser kicked out. But leaving the water aside, kashering a few kalim at once is not going to be a problem, and therefore kashering one kli in another kli which had iser inside is also not going to be a problem because it's kicking out the iser. I did the polatein b'leah. And number four, the fourth suggestion is not barnata hetera. Fourth suggestion is a gishmaki suggestion that comes back, and this way Tufnum days is a chazar of some very important diunim that we had in the Rishonim, and that is that if you have a nesinas tam bar nesinas tam, what exactly is your chash? Your chash is that there is going to be a nesinas tam of treif into this kli, okay, and then this kli gives off, that's one nesinas tam, this kli gives off its tam into the water, and then that's going to go into the third kli. That's already three nesinas tam. So in such a case, we have not parnata etera, it's probably not even, Miller pointed out, it's probably not two nesinas tam, it's probably even three nesinas tam. Not parnata etera is going to be good. Yes, ma'am?
Didn't
we see
that the
Rav Malo was not? Boom! Amazing. Gevaldik, misamech. Beautiful. Frek Mickey, a gevaldik akasha. Mickey asks, but at the end of the day, why don't we say that this is not barnati isura? Because at the end of the day, what are we talking now? We're talking simin tafnun beis, and simin tafnun beis is hilchas hagala for chametz on Pesach. And we're talking about chametz be Pesach, so we choshesh for the Ramah, who says that chametz is isura bala gishmak kasha. So your kasha, the Ber Halacha asks, in Dibur Maskil She'ein, and the best place to check it out is in the Magen Avraham himself. The Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Aleph asks your kasha that you can't use explanation number four. So b'siyata d'shmaya, we'll get to that in the appropriate time. But this is the Hakdama with that great kasha. Okay, now let's read the Heilige Mechaber. Zok the Heilige Mechaber, Tofnun Beis Aleph, Yesh Li Zoyer LaHagil Kodem Shoa Chamishis. You should be careful to do Hagala prior to the fifth hour. Kidei shelo yitzdarech, because, okay, let's start off right now. The Mechaber in his opening line is using rationale number four. He's saying that at the end of the day, you've got not barnata etera. So since it's prior to the fifth hour, it's not barnata etera. So really, you're not going to have any problem at all. Kidei, and therefore, says the Mechaber, lo yitzdarech ledagdik kima kelim b'nei yoma no lo. You're not going to need to be medagdik whether the kelim are b'nei yoma. V'chein, skipping the Ramaz now, imagil kelim shebliyasa muatas, im kelim shebliyasa meruba, and the same thing also is you don't have to worry about that there are kelim, some are small and some are large. Because if you have a kli that's small, so this small kli takes a very short time to kick out its iser. So therefore, its iser is going to be already gone, and it's going to be cooking away, and it's going to be ready to absorb. And this kli is still kicking out its iser. So then in such a case, the smaller kli is going to absorb. So you're going to have to be careful that not to have kelim shebliyasa muetes with kelim shebliyasa meruba. In other words, even though you have Ivy Detarid Lemiflat Aina Balea, but a small kli, then it's done with its plitos quickly. Vichain, imasha ha kalim, bitocha yori yosamidai, veina masha osam kolkach, and as well, the problem will be if it's not barnata etera, if it's sitting there for a while inside of the urn, the big, how do you call it, the vat that you're using to kasher, eventually the water is going to go back in and it's going to kick inside. So then you have no problem if it's not barnata etera. And also you have no concern about, again, Ivy the Tarid, the liflat, ena boleya, you're going to have to keep it a very, very particular time inside of the water. Because if it's kicked out its iser and it's all done, it's going to start absorbing. So the eitza, hayuutza, is not barnata etera. What is not barnata etera over here? To do it prior to the fifth hour. Comes along the Magen Avraham and asks Mickey's question. He says, at the end of the day, you have not barnata isura according to the Ramah. Now the Ramah asks a very hard question that no one understands on the Mechaber, which we're going to skip. But the bottom line is that the Ramah doesn't say the Mechaber is wrong. In other words, the Mechaber is fine, because the Mechaber holds the Chometz is a Terebala prior to Shah Chamisha. So then it's going to be not Bernate Yitura. That's Gishmak. But the Magen Avraham asks, what about according to us Ashkenazim, that are Choshesh, what are you going to do with this issue? So therefore, the Ber Halacha doesn't really solve it. Ber Halacha on the next page, on page 90, because that Kasha is so strong, the Ber Halacha, if you take a look, let's take a look at She'ein Tzrichin Lizarba on page 90. Hine Ramal v'chai b'chol sivzeh, kaima b'chad ha-shitasa. They're all going with one shita, the Bisman, Shemut Rachamitz, Mikre not bernata etera. Bayim bo l'shabbos b'chol shubera agro. And also the Magen Avraham, the Kol Zeh Das Das Poskim, the Shtom the Chametz Mikri Yeter Bala, Avdas Shtom the Chametz Mikri Yisula Bala, then in such a case it's going to be a problem. So what's the Mishnah Berurah's approach? Mishnah Berurah's approach is the following. You should be Machmir, even prior to the fifth hour. Lefizeh, first one online is HaPoskim. Either you should be machmed the kem should not be bnei yoma, or she yachshur hayora gedol via bashishim levatal kelim, or there's shishim keneged. That's the suggestion. Ube medina seinu, but that's not going to work so much because already in Radin, as well as in Ramat Beit Shemesh and in Munsi and so on, you have many people coming and doing the hagolas kelim at once. So if you had not pernata teira, no problem. But what about the fact that we're choshish is not pernata yisura? So it says the Chavetz Chaim vina same shenog in the hagel biyora gedola kol anshe ir sheheter shishim iyesher lios neged kol akelim. So now you have all these kelim that are kicking out its isser into the water, and it's not no pun intended not pernata teira. So then in such a case, he says al kain yeshli zar Rav Nevin Sal Shlita. Goes with this as well. Shelo lahagil shum kli elim kain over me es leis shanish bar chametz. That you should be mefarsein. The only time to kasher kalim is if the kalim are in a bnei yoma. If I'm not mistaken, somewhere else the Mishnah Berurah also suggests another suggestion, and that also Rav Nevin Sal Shlita points out that one should use, and that is that that I think most kashrus organizations use this etza, and that is to put the davar hapogim inside the water. That's another etza as well. So generally the way it's, you would not want to drink the water after the hechsher kelim, not because of all the grime that was in the, when, if people didn't clean their kelim properly, but also because it could very well be that there's poison, not poison, but some type of davar hapogim that's inside, that would take care of the problem that that it's not barnat the yisur. So this is the bottom line as far as the Chavetz Chaim is concerned. Now the Chazon Ish in your booklet has a very lumdish teretz in Kuf Yutes Yudalid for this problem. This Chazon Ish has a lot of hashlachos to it. I'll even make reference to one of the hashlachos. This is Lahagdil Toru Ladira. You'll forgive me for not doing halacha l'maisa for 2 minutes, just to share with you this beautiful Chazon Ish and Kuf Yudalid Yudalid. The Chazon Ish suggests that there's a fundamental difference between Tafnun Aleph and Tafnun Beis. Chazon Ish says that when we're talking about Simin Tafnun Aleph over there, we're talking about a tam that's in going into food. He says, let me read it for you inside. Va'afalgav to be sun. Yud Dalit, first word online is to be sun. Va'afalgav to be sun. Even though when it comes to not barnati sura, afilu tam shlishi revi asur. We say that even tam shlishi revi is going to be asur. Shum zeu koacha isur lesser. That means that by there is chashivus of isur of food that goes inside to a pot. So then in such a case, there is chashivus of it, even if you've gotten a large part of it out through hagola. Avo bedvar heter. But when we're talking about something that start off as heter. Va'achshav nischadish bo isur. And now, there's a new isur. In other words, now comes Pesach, you're saying it's asur. Afilu nat barnat echametz l'choshiv le'esar. The not barnat is not strong enough to have halachic significance. Why? Skipping a line. The hasam bala tam gomur. Because in the case that we were discussing originally was a case in which you had real chametz that was absorbed into a pot. And that chametz was chametz of Isur. That was chametz of Isur. So then you have to get out all of that time. And even the smallest amount of time is asur. Va'agola ain't a mafalas taimo. And agola doesn't work. However, the Chazon Ish goes on to say, If we're talking about Nat Barnat, he says Nat Barnat is weaker than simply a regular case of Isura Bala. Because even the Man D'Amar who holds Nat Barnat the Isura, he's not talking about something that started out as Heter and then went into a Pat. In other words, the Chazon Ish claims that Nat Barnat, and he has rayas to this, Nat Barnat is less Tam than when you have Tam that went into a Kli, Tam that went into a Kli, and that Tam was called Isura Bala, and then there's a Chiyuv to get it out for Libun. If there's a Chiyuv to get it out for Libun and you don't, that little bit is going to be Aser. In contrast, to not bar not the Isura, if it's going in when it's originally had there, then in such a case you could be more makel. It's a complicated svara of the Chazon Ish. It's a fascinating svara. You could take a look at this. Another hashlacha of this Chazon Ish is his understanding of not bar not the Isura. It seems to me is different than what I said from Soloveitchik and Rav Ozner. At the end of the day, the Chazon Ish does try to answer and differentiate and say that not bar not, that is a tam kolush, and you, there you would be makel, in contrast to Isura Bala, where there's a little bit of Isur left, then you have to be machmer. That's the Yisod of the Chazon Ish. You could be amel on it. Either way, la halacha, the Chavetz Chaim doesn't go with this complicated teretz. Chavetz Chaim just goes with the assumption that we are machmer, and one has to be amel on the Magen Avraham's kasha, why the Ramah did not go with that. Okay, so this is in regards to that very, very basic issue. If you give me one more minute, I want to share with you another teretz that dawned on me, that I think I have a ritva that says something similar to this. Is on your cover page. I thought that there was a difference between Isura Bala in regards to Isura Bala on Pesach versus Isura Bala on Erev Pesach. It's true. Chametz we look at as Isura Bala. But when does Chametz become Isura Bala? When does it achieve its status of Isura Bala? Does it assume identity of Isura Bala already beforehand? Or on Pesach you view it as Isura Bala? If you assume that Chametz has a din of Isura Bala only on Pesach itself, when you're kashering before Pesach, then it doesn't have the din of Isura Bala, and therefore you could rely on Nat Bar Nat De'Teira. That was something I thought of. And the Ritva seems to say, if you take a look at the cover page, the Ritva seems to say that, something along those lines. Al Chametz bePesach Shenivla B'Tzakin, Chametz Hu V'Shem Chametz Lav, Ela She'adayin Lo Chala Lav Zman Isura. The Zman Isur didn't kick in that point. Mikol Makom, Kishachalov Pesach Rohu Liyos. So when Pesach comes, so that's what the Ritva seems to say. And I go to Zarya Sasa.
When
let's take a look. Over there in the Mechaber Ramah, in Tuf Nun Aleph, we're discussing, you have Isura Bala, and the Shaila over there, in Tuf Nun Aleph Dalet, maybe you're right. Let's take a look. The shaila over there is kelim shemishtamshim v'alideya, or how do you do hechsher on it, right? So who says that's before Pesach? Who says? I'm suggesting that here we're talking about if the blios on when you're done Isura Bala. I'm not claiming Mishnah Berurah holds up my teretz. I'm just saying Lahagdil Torah Ladira had to be Miyashiv the Ramah. I'm not claiming that it's going to fit back into Mishnah Berurah. But Tafnun Aleph I'm talking about is I'm understanding is talking about when it's already Isura Bala. But Tafnun Beis is giving us the Eitzah before Pesach. Lav Dafka. It's talking about the Hagdaras HaKli. The Hagdaras HaKli.
I mean, actually, most of the actually in
not
now that I do on
this.
Right.
Why? On Chol HaMoed? Why not? I'm not talking within all the chumras. I'm talking about Mi'ikar D'dinah. But again, that's going to... Okay, take it or leave it. This is what dawned on me. I don't think it's so crazy. I think particularly in some Rishonim it might work. Whether it fits back as Parshat Shan Shulchan Aruch, then I'm willing to take a constructive criticism on it. But I think it is an interesting yisod that it's mefurish in the Ritva that only assumes its identity of Yisur Abala on Pesach itself. So if you're doing it beforehand, maybe Lefalto, not Barnett. Okay, I want to get back to Lamaisa. I'm sorry, Ramosha, I want to get back to Lamaisa. Let's keep on moving. It'd be my pleasure to take your horrors in the base of Medrash. Says the Ramah, Vim lo higil, kodim zman Yisura, Vim lo higil, kodim zman Yisura, I'm sorry, Vinyam. Vim lo higil, kodim zman Yisura, yochel ha-hagil ad ha-pesach. If you didn't do Hagola prior to Zman Yisur, so then you could do the Hagola up until Pesach. She'oz chametz b'mashu v'ein ha-mo'al ha-gol, she'chozo v'leah. Avon mutter l'labin kli toch ha-pesach. That's the Ramah that you just mentioned, that the Ramah says that we're choshesh, that's going to be chozo v'leah. However, libun is going to be acceptable. U'geshemagil kodim pesach v'achar sheish. And the Ramah concludes, when you have ha-gola after the sixth hour, tzarech li'zar b'chol dvar miskarm she'ein tzarech li'zar b'en kodim sheish. So the Ramah concurs with the psak of the Mechaber and says that the Eitzah HaYu'utzah is not Barnata HaTeira, but at the end of the day, he says, if you do it after Sheish, so then you have to be careful, B'chol HaDvarim Shen Iskarim. As I mentioned, the Be'er Halacha is Machmir, and says that one should try not to rely on the HaTeira Balasad, and therefore we saw that he said that the suggestion should be to only Kasher Kalim that are Einon B'nei Yomo. However, the Mishnah Berurah goes even further. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud Gimel points out that this is Aliba de Hilchasa, but Aliba de Minig were even more machna. Let's take a look and read the Mishnah Berurah, three lines from the top on page Mem Vav. V'yesh metartzen d'lachin nakal achashesh, does me anachon lizar b'chol advarim niskar medivrei amachaber, The Mishnah Berurah is bothered by the following question. He says, the Mechaber was speaking about after 4 hours, and the Ramah says after 6 hours. So, of course, we know that after 6 hours is Doraisa, 4 hours is Dorabana. So he says that it could very well be that between 4 and 6 hours, all you have to do is be careful, have one hakpada, one of two things, dahainu, 7 lines in to page Mem Vav. Shiyira shelo yeh hakli shemagel gamay yorag dol shemagel v'sochal shneim lo yeh bnei yomo. Either have hakpada that both should be ena ben yomo. Bet im hakli shemagel ben yomo tzarich shiyah b'mayim shishim, or have shishim. One of those two possibilities from 4 to 6 hours, and that would be enough. Of course, after 6 hours, so then in such a case, the suggestion is to be machmir on all of the above. However, the Mishnah Berurah concludes that the ayin beber alocha should be arnu, that's the beber alocha that we saw in the Ramaskal Shein Tzrichim, mikayim b'shem kam achronim, shesovrim, d'shnei dvar meilu, haynu mashe tzrichim shlo yekeim b'nei yomo, ushim mayim shishin levatlon, humidina, afilu kodim zman isur chametz. That is Medina even prior to the Zman Isur, and therefore the suggestion is that one try to be Mekayim all of the above. And that is the Minog today. If you take a look in the Piskei Tshuvas, in the back of the booklet, you take a look, he has a list of Hakpados for the way in which one should kasher Kalim throughout the period prior to Pesach, and not only from 4 hours on or 6 hours on. Number one, he says on page Kufma Megimel, Hayor Shemagil Bati Ena Bas Yomo. Number one, it should be that Ena Bas Yomo. Number two, Hamayim Sheba Biyori Yebeliya Taruvas Nozlem Achirim. He suggests, you know, let's skip Beis, because Beis is going to be a nuance that we'll get to later on. Gimel. You have to be careful that it's scalding hot. And this the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Ches. The Mishnah Berurah points out that it should be Malabu Bos, which is 200 degrees Dalit, ha'esh tia tachas ha'yorah, there should be a fire under the vat. Hey, here we see, that tzar shir ma'im shishim, there should be shishim keneged kol ha'kelim shemagil, keneged kol ha'kelim. Vav, ha'kli shemagilim yu ena ben yomo, the kelim should be ena ben yomo. Zayin, roi shalol lahachnis l'mayim bebas achas kem shabliyasam wetes, that's what we saw in the Mechaber in Sif Aleph, that you should put similar size kelim together, and therefore there's no problem. It would be very, very hard to be magil each piece of silverware separately, so it's not a problem to put in forks and knives together, but to put in different size kelim together is going to be a problem. Ches, yagil gamis yados hakelim, should also be magil the yados hakelim, that we'll get to when we get to simen kuf chaf aleph. Lo yagil klio chelko pamayim, okay, that we didn't explain yet. Yud, yishim atas hakli b'sof hamayim, v'lo yitzien miyad keref ayin, you should leave the kli in for a period of time, but not too long. It's a balance. Enough that the kli is going to get hot, but not for an extended period of time. We'll get to Yud-Al shortly. Yud-Gimel is important. Im yirtzeh l'shtamish b'yor shehigol bal yesh lahagila. So for today you're using a vat to kasher, to put kelim inside. So tomorrow, before you use it again, you should kasher it as well. So what we see is that even if it's prior to Erev Pesach, one's makbid on shishim, or makbid on Eina Ben Yomo, and that's something that's kedai to be mefarsim. What if you have a very large kli? Yes, David. It solves the water, and eventually it will solve the kli as well. Yeah, in a chanami, but it really solves the water. In a chanami, it's a I want to remind me before I leave Tafnun Beis. I want to show you that not everybody's so happy with that eitza. Correct. And I'll show you in the Piskei Tshuvos where that comes up. Yes. Very good. It's connected. What? But Davar Pogame? Yeah. But no, there's another variable. Nachon. And I'm going to introduce another variable as well. Sivav, I'm going a little out of order to stay within topic. In Sivav, we have kli gadol. If you have a large utensil, she'eni yochel lahachnes toch kli acher machmas gadol, it's so large, you can't put it into a yora. So then, osa safal afiv betit, you would surround it, the kli, with some type of tit. So we have a problem when you have a utensil that's very, very large. So if you're just going to put hot water inside, so it's only going to reach the top. But what about the lip? How are you going to take care of the lip? So in regards to the lip, what we do is we put teat over here that encourages the water to run over. It runs over the lip, and it causes it to run over the lip, and memela, you're kashering the lip as well. Or you use something along the lines of the Evan Amaluban to cause the water to run over. So you do ideally kasher a kli by putting it inside of a Yorah Gadol. If that's not possible, so then you have to make sure that the water runs over the lip, because clearly the lip as well will absorb chametz. In regards to basar b'chalav, so then the Mechaber tells us in Sif Beis, yesh li zoher, milahagil kli ha-basar kli chalav biyachad. One should be careful not to do hagala on milchiks and fleishiks together. Elim kein, echa mehenein a ben yoma, unless one of them is not a ben yoma. What's this based on? So this is a geshmak chazara. Points out the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Yud Dalit, that this is the Ramah in Sadi Hei Gimel. Let's just review a great fun chazara. We had the following issue when you have two kelim inside of water in Sadi Hei Gimel. If this is going to be milchiks, and this is going to be fleishik. So then, each one is giving off its tam into the water. The milchiks is going into the water, and the fleishik is going into the water. So we had a big machlokas rishonim whether that's going to be considered not bar not. Or do you say that the water hits in the middle and you have to be machmir? So the mechaber over here points out that he passed in me'ikr d'dina that it is not barnat. However, his lashon is yesh li zayir, and that the Mishnah Berurah points out is the Ramah says that everything becomes treif. So therefore, one has to be careful when doing hechsher not to have kli and basar and kli chalav together. And of course, there you're not going to have not barnat de teira if you have them together. However, if you have one of them, says the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Yudzayin, let's look at it inside. Echamein de ben yoma mutar shemikabel me'ena ben yoma rak tam pogum. But if one of them is a tam pogum, so then in such a case you'll be okay. She'ena ben yoma damke mutar shatam shebaleh mi ben yomo, the tam that's given off from the ben yoma who not barnat de teira. That's not barnat de'etera. If this is ben yomo, and eventually it's going to go into the milcha gepat, but it's after a not barnat, and it's going to be mutter. And when it comes to the ena ben yomo, that's no problem if it gives off the tam into the other pat. In Siv Gimel, the mechaber says, lo niach chelim harbe l'soch kli v'yagilem yachad im nogim zebezeh. You have to be careful that the kelim touch each other. That would be problematic as well, because then each one is going to give off its iser into the other before it goes into the water. In Siv Dalid, the mechaber says, imagil b'tzvas yigalgal hakli. What happens if the kli is very, very hot? And what's going to happen is that you're not going to be able to put the kli into the water, so what you use is tongs, and you use tongs to put it into the water, so then you have to be careful, because the moment in which you use the tongs in the water, the area that the tongs touch is not going to undergo kashering. So then in such a case, you're going to have to do it twice, putting the tongs in a different area, so that everything is going to be taken care of. Finally, in regards to the Eitzas of the Piskei Tshuvas, there's one thing that I skipped, and that was Oz Beis. In Oz Beis, the Piskei Tshuvas says, Hamayim Shebiyora Yu Bili Taruvas Nozlim Acherim. You should ideally have only water that's doing the Hechsher. Because we know, Kibolo Kachpolto, we know that water has the ability to bring the Isser in. Water has the ability to bring the Isser out. However, as he's Mitzayin, in Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Chavav, who says orange juice has the ability to do it? Who says other things have that same Koach? If you take a look in Mishnah Berurah Chav Dalid, he says, because of Apostle, do what in Mayim HaMuravim Be'efer, it was common to have hot smoldering vats that had different types of water. And those different types of water sometimes had other chemicals inside. And the poskim were concerned. Who says that that does the kibolo kachpolto that one would want? And therefore, one should not have other dvarim inside. So, of course, we enter into a paradox. If you were doing a hagolas kalim in your house, so then the best thing, and you know that everything's going smoothly, you know what you're doing, so then in such a case, then the best thing would be to use regular pure water, not to have anything else inside. However, Rav Nevensal points out that in mass settings, we're going to have to choose, we have to sort of choose our bidyeved. So Rav Nevensal would prefer to choose his bidyeved that not to be mekayim this lechatchila, to have clear water, and you would put a davar apogim in, even though there might be others who would say, no, you already have an eina ben yomo, so it's not shishim, or you have shishim and it's a ben yomo. Rely on that sirif hakul. So you got to sort of choose the poskim are going to have to choose their eitza. So Rav Nevensal chose to be mevater, if you will, on the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Chavav. But while another posek could come along and say, I think that this is ma'akev, and therefore, as long as the kelim, you're sure it's ein ben yom, or you're sure that the vat is shishim, then that would be enough, and lechatchila to have clear water without anything else. But that Rav Nevenzal Shlita Zaitza is to put in the davar apogam. This way you've solved it. Rav Binyamin pointed out, not everybody agrees that you've solved it for whatever reason, that the Shach and Taz are not happy with the davar apogam in general, and Sadi Hey Dalit, so it could be for them as well. It's not going to be a Eitza Yehutza. Rav Nevenzal in general will often be Metzarek, the Pesach of the Mechaber, for other snifim, even though the Ashkenazic poskim won't accept it, he will use it as a snif lahakel, as in this case. That the Mechaber says you could use it, so even though Shach and Taz don't like it, that would be enough for us. Okay. This Siyata Deshmaya is Simin Tachnun Beis, plus Siv Zayin. Let's take a look at Siv Zayin. Zok Deheleg Mechaber, Noagin Lishtof Akli B'mayim Karim Achar Agola Miyad. The minig is to do Shtifa after the Hagolah. So that brings us back to the Pesukim that we started out with a couple of weeks ago, Umorak Veshutaf Bamayim, that the Kodshim, when you're taking out the Noser, so what you do is you rinse it in hot water, and then afterwards, Shtifa is generally understood by Chazal as cold water. So this is interesting. This Halacham Nogin Lishtof Akli Bamayim. So why do you do it? So take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, why the Mishnah Berurah understands it. How the Mishnah Berurah understands it, says the Mishnah Berurah Lamadalid, Kedei Shelo Yachzar V'Yivla Mimayim Roschim Shaleihem Sheyesh Bem Pleitas Chametz. It's a similar concern that we've been obsessed with in all Siman Tafnun Beis, and that is that we're afraid that the Isser that's in the water is going to go back inside. So you have a little bit of hot water there, so get that hot water off. Get it off entirely. So what do? How do you get the hot water off? You rinse it in cold water. That's how the Mishnah Berurah understands it. Rav Nevenzal, discussing the Duralex, pointed out, he said, be careful not to do shtifa right away. He was concerned that if you do shtifa right away, the contrast of heat to cold could cause the kli to break or to explode and so on. So, but generally, at whatever pace is safe for the kli, the minig is to do this. There are other explanations for this minig. I've made reference to in the past that Rav Ganak in his Sefer has breathtaking shiur from Rav Soloveitchik on the minhag of shtifa, where Rav Soloveitchik had many rayas, many lamdasha rayas, that there is some type of unique relationship between Hagolas Pesach, Kelim LePesach, and Kodshim, and this is a special halacha in regards to Hagolas Kelim. Does anybody recall seeing shtifa in Hilchos Hechsher Kelim? I don't think it is. It's not there. So Soloveitchik pointed out, both in Rambam as well as in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha only appears by Hilchos Pesach. In Lumdus, it works out a lot. At the end of the day, he has a lot of Lumdus there that I didn't get involved with in terms of the Surah Bala, the Chul of Chule, the Chule. Take a look at Rav Ganak Shlita's Sefer. But at the end of the day, I never understood why it would be that there's a thematic connection, particularly about Hagolas Kalim for Pesach versus Shari Maris Hashanah. Turns out Rav Nevenzal Shlita was mechavin to Rav Soloveitchik in a much more modest way. If you take a look at the Ha'aros in the Yitzchak Kikari, I say modest, I mean much less ambitious than Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. Soloveitchik's Torah is a complicated binyan. Rav Nevenzal doesn't answer all of Rav Soloveitchik's riots. All he says is he was mechavin to the same idea. He says, Yesh Omrim du Zechel Amigdash. In other words, the reason that you do shtifa is not due to the chshash of the hot water, but rather is Zeichel Migdash. Actually, Rav Miller Shlita quoted this in his Shurim in Hagolas Kelim, and he quoted it with a smile, as with a little bit of simcha in his voice, that, you know, Rav Nevenzal is shoeif for Zeichel Migdash, so that Rav Nevenzal thought that this is based on Zeichel Migdash. So this morning I asked him, though, why then does it appear, this is the second time I've bothered him about this, why does it appear in Hilchos Pesach and Hilchos and not in Yardea. He says he didn't have a teretz for that, and he just added he thinks that the minhag is to do shtifa as well as for Hechsher Kelim for Shari Sim as well, not just for Pesach. In other words, whatever of Soloveitchik's diuk was in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, he thought the minhag was not that way. But ultimately, we leave off with two tzarachians. Either you have Rav Soloveitchik's diukim and then his whole shtickle Torah, and then question becomes, what is the thematic connection between Pesachim and Kodshim, which I didn't understand from Rav Ganak Shlita's piece. I think Rav Ganak taught this to us when I learned Yaradei in the yeshiva. Or you have Rav Nevenzal's Mahalach, that Ein Echanam, you need Marika and Shtifa, Zeichel and Migdash in general, but then you're stuck. Why did the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch not bring it down in in Machos Asuris and in Yoredeh. Okay, I tend to fall short for the goals. It's 4:10, basically 4:10, and we didn't get to do Simin Kuf Chaf Aleph to finish off. We are going to pick up. I think it makes sense to stop over here, right? So we'll pick up in Sif Hei in Kuf Chaf Aleph. I'd like you to already begin, for those of you already who've done that well. I have a few more Mara Makomos on the cover page that I didn't give you yet in the end of Kuf Chaf Aleph. I'd like you also to start beginning Tvilas Kalim as well, Simin Kuf Chaf, and that'll be my pleasure to answer all the fellows that I pushed off before. Yeah. Well, what is their svara?
Yeah, why is it not a rabbi? Why is it not a rabbi?
You could argue that it runs into the problem of Eim Avatlan Esla Chatzchil. Okay, so what do you mean? You're getting it out. Oh, so it could be that there's a difference between the two. It could be.
I would say that because I'm not trying to